It's Friday, May 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, it's Friday. I got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? How's the Ohana? How's the family out there? How's everybody doing? Are you ready for the weekend? Well, I'm definitely ready for the weekend. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But if you are a long-term subscriber to the show, I want to thank you so very much for being part of the family. And of course, thank you for staying subscribed. And, of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And, of course, check on the podcast link. That'll get you into the archive podcast. And you'll see in the third column of the website a newsletter link. Make sure you get signed up for a newsletter so you get our show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, it's been a busy, busy week here. I've been trying to get ahead on everything in order to get ready to go out to New York City, and I think I'm all caught up. I was finishing up some paperwork this afternoon, and I kind of looked in my inbox and outbox, and I said, the inbox is empty, and the outbox is full. I guess that's a good sign. But I got a couple of last-minute things to wrap up in the evening, but I think I'm good to go and ready to roll out of here. Well, I do have to pack, but look forward to getting on an airplane Saturday afternoon and then getting into New York Sunday morning and then enjoying a little bit of the Big Apple. It's been a number of years since I've been out there, so looking forward to getting back and checking some things out. Been getting some responses from people saying, yeah, I want to come out and hang out for a listener/podcaster meetup. So what we're going to be doing is everyone that sent me an email to CEO at Raw Voice or sent me an email at geeknews@gmail.com that had New York City meetup in the subject line. I've been looking for those specifically. You will get an email on Monday. Javon and I are going to decide on the exact location, which we're going to have the meetup on Wednesday night. I believe I have to decide on what time we're going to get started. I know some of you work in the city, so we may try to start a little bit earlier and go a little long, a couple hours or something. Find a place that's decently quiet, have some food, and hang out and talk tech, podcasting, you name it. It's just going to be fun. And then I leave Thursday morning to fly out to see my mom in Michigan. So I'm going to be having a meetup as well in Michigan on Friday. So I don't really want to go too far from home. So the little town of Coldwater, which is really close to the state line, is on I-69 is the highway that Coldwater's on. We're going to find a place to meet up there. I think I'm going to have, so far, I think we've got four or five people that have mentioned they want to come down. So we'll get that firmed up as well. And I'll send an email as well, giving locations and a link to some directions. But looking forward to meeting everyone that is rogered up to meeting up with me when I'm out on the East Coast, and of course in Michigan as well. So look forward to it. And the meetings I'm having in New York are starting to really shape up. We're going to have to hustle and bustle between different media buyer meetings, but I'm really excited about going out there and talking to those prospective companies, those prospective firms on what we're doing at Raw Voice and some of the cool things that we've got going on, and hopefully turn that into some opportunities for the large number of podcasters that are listed either on Blueberry Tech Podcast or at Podcaster News. So look forward to going out there and sharing information about essentially how we do business. And I like the way we do business, and I think that it'll come across fully understandable And then you maybe put a new light on things a little bit from maybe things that they've heard in the past. But there was a couple of articles that caught my eye this week that I wanted to reference you to. And one of them I had already written a blog post on. And this was a article that was actually, let's see if I can bring it up here and find where the original link was to it, because I didn't have my page loaded here. Actually, it was in the Wall Street Journal. And some people said it was kind of a sensationalism article out of the Wall Street Journal. And essentially, they basically said, if you're not found in Google, you're a nobody. Now, some people may react a little bit differently to that than I did. But, you know, I deal with a lot of people. I'm talking to a lot of people on the net. So essentially, I Google everybody. You know, I just want to know where their blog is. I want to see where their Flickr page is. It's kind of a way to get to know people via the internet when, you know, you're trying to develop, you know, a mindset of what that person, who that person is, and get a little background about them. Employers are doing the same thing, and I'm sure many of you are out there Googling people as well that you meet to kind of, you know, see what's out on the net. But it's amazing on how many people that I Google that I just never find. I never find anything. And I understand some people do that by choice. They don't want to be found on the net, and they don't want a lot of information that's would normally be very, very private to be publicly exposed on the internet. But, you know, I think it's important if you're doing business on the internet, if you are have any type of an online activity, whether it be blogging, if people blog your name, you know, you need to be able to be found. And generally, I look a couple of pages in Google. If I can't find you in the first couple of pages, then I just keep on moving on. Now, I did get some feedback from some people on this article, but I think this is a good thing. I think it's a, I think they're correct in their analogy. And what they were referring to in the original article was that parents now are Googling names to make sure that the name they pick for their child doesn't turn up to be some mass murderer or something really, really horrendous. So, I think, even though I think that may be going a little bit too far, people are starting to acquire their digital identity at birth. So it's interesting that parents are starting to look after that, along with, you know, the employers too. And I think there was actually, well, talk a little bit about that more later in the show. I've got an article that was a reference to some Google stuff that was going on with people actually Googling people's names for employment. I also wrote an article over on Raw Voice, and this was a article that was prompted by an email that I got from one of the podcasters that we, I wouldn't say represent. That person has their own show. They have their own brand. They have their own dedicated website. You know, they get a lot of great traffic through it, but this person was on a media buy with us, and they sent me an email, and basically the email was, Todd, this PR firm for another podcasting company is using my name in their press release. What can I do? You know, because it was the press release made association to that person was, or that person's podcast was part of their family, and, you know, kind of, and essentially hitching a ride upon that podcaster's success. Now, while I won't name the podcaster, you know, every podcaster has a right to. Any content producer has a right to protect their name and how it's used and how it's referenced. You know, I thought it was pretty, how should I say it? Well, let me say this. I would never, ever, ever release a press release with another podcaster's name in the press release without first getting permission from that person to do that. And I would also, at the same time, let them know how the wording was. It's only fair. And we've done that before. We have solicited comments from people about stuff and included them on press releases, but it was done full knowing that they were going to get exposure. Now, what if some company that you don't want to be associated with, maybe they're using a service of theirs, and they start using your name like, you know, they got this great relationship with? It's very misleading. And I think the companies that are out there in the space today should take some warning from podcasters. You know, I'm not going to go and talk to the company. That's not my position, but it is, I feel as a leader in this space, that I need to say what we're going to do, you know, what my company's going to do. And we're very, very serious about making sure that people's brands are are protected and that they own, you know, there's full rights and ownership, and it doesn't look like anybody's trying to move in and, you know, and get some PR out of someone else's work. I don't think that's cool at all. But anyway, I wanted to talk just a little bit about that. I know that I expound from time to time on some things going on in the podcasting space, but something I'm really, truly passionate about is in protecting one's brand. And great, you know, publicity is great, right? Everyone loves publicity. They like to see their name in a newspaper, on a press release. It's all good until there's a misrepresentation of one's name in some press release. So that's kind of the point I'm getting to. All right, I've been working on the Podcast Awards website, and we are really, really close. And when I say we, my developer, went through and we've made some changes this year. We're getting ready to get underway on that nomination process starting on July 1st. I've already got my list of volunteers, of volunteer listeners that are going to help in the, essentially in the grading of the nomination process. This year, the nomination process is going to be different, though. We are going to enact instead of people being able to nominate once a day, they're only going to be able to nominate one time during the nomination period. And we may tighten the nomination period up a little bit so it's not as long. So the essentially what that's to prevent is that we want to give every podcaster an equal shake at being to make the slate of shows. And we're also going to expand the number of shows that are going to be allowed to be displayed on a slate. I think we're going to have as many as 10 podcasts that will be in each category that are going to be allowed to make it from the nomination phase into the slate of candidate shows on each of the 22 categories. We're doing okay on the sponsor front. And we've got our platinum sponsor secured. We have one gold sponsor secured. So we're looking for three more golds and a handful of silvers. We've got enough sponsors right now to move forward on the basic prize stuff that we normally give out. But we'd like to definitely kick that up a little bit. It's a nonprofit event for me. What comes in goes directly back out to the podcaster. We do remove a little bit of money for server costs because the bandwidth is unbelievably high during the essentially a three-month window in which the award ceremony or the nominations voting and all that other stuff is going on. So we generally, about 95% of the dollars come back to the podcaster. So it's kind of my way of helping get shows promoted. And we look forward to announcing who our platinum sponsor is here in a couple of days. So if you're a podcaster out there, we'll have some banners for you soon where we'll be going to give to you that you're going to be able to put up on your website to let your listeners go and nominate you. Hey, just wanted to also let you know, as I've talked about a couple of shows ago, actually, I've been on a diet now for 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks, probably closer to 6 weeks. I kind of started it a little bit, and then I got real serious a couple of weeks into it. But I think, you know, it's always easy. The first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds, those are the easy ones. So I'm past the easy ones. I'm going from pound 10 to pound 11 in the loss category, with the goal over the next 6 to 9 months to losing a total of 30 pounds. That's the goal, and we'll see how long it takes me to get there. But I absolutely abhor going to the gym, but I'm doing at least 3 to 4 days a week in the gym on a cross trainer. So a fat boy that's sitting here behind the mic, I'm trying to slim down. You know, too much sitting behind the mic is a part of the problem and not getting out. But you know what? All this would not be possible without our great sponsors. And, you know, domains from GoDaddy.com are up to 70% less than the competition. Plus, each domain includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much, much more. So when you get over to GoDaddy.com, you're looking for a domain name, you're looking for hosting services, whatever it may be, when you get to that checkout counter, use the code TODD when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Now we use Todd Geek 5. Pod58 is another code you can use. We did have one listener that had a little bit of trouble with an account that they had gotten, who didn't do quite what they wanted it to do, and that individual had sent me an email back and said, hey, here's what the issues were, and I forwarded that immediately right over to the rep I've got at GoDaddy, and I know that person was contacted by a very senior person within the company. And very, very serious. They take these feedbacks on any time anyone has an issue or something isn't quite what they thought it would be. So again, you know, this company comes to bat, and you know, if there's an issue, they take care of it. And I think that's the important thing we all need to recognize. Well, anyway, let's move on here. Hey, one thing that Javon's our financial officer over at Raw Voice. He was at an event in New York this past week, and it was kind of an impromptu discussion about new media. There was some people there from Microsoft. There was a group of, new media folks. And the place that they were at did a recording of it. They did a video of it. And Javon asked if the company would be willing to get that spliced up and make it available. And it was some technical discussion as well. So what we're going to do is once that video is all packaged up and we get an RSS link to it, we're going to put that over at Tech Podcast. It fits for the tech podcast genre. I think it would make some great material for people to go look at. We're going to start doing more of this kind of stuff. There'll be a special, I guess what we're going to do is we're going to have a special show over there where we release these kinds of cool videos. So once we get that up, I'll let you know. I'll point a link at it, of course, and then y'all can check it out. But of course, we're also planning for our next roundtable. And that's going to be going down probably real close to after I get back from New York. So it's going to be a boom, boom, boom. It's going to be a very, very busy week. Of course, our roundtables are sponsored by GoToMeeting. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail just sometimes is not enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with business associates, family, and friends. You know, I've been using this application this week to do a variety of meetings. We've been having essentially every day there's something's been going on where I needed to get online with people. Matter of fact, in one day we used the application 3 times in a row, and it just works out great. You can show documents, share them, talk about stuff, edit stuff, and, you know, like the tool, it lives up to its reputation. It's like you're all in the same room. It works great. And you, too, can get a free 30-day trial. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, what have I got for you tonight? I've got some good stuff here. And let me look at my little note list. A little long on just comments tonight. But before we do get into the content, I think the show schedule next week, okay, I have all intent and purposes to do a show for a Tuesday release. Now, when I travel to Michigan on Thursday, it's going to be a little bit tougher because bandwidth is dial-up. So I'm going to do the best I can to get a show out. It may be short, and maybe it'll be just a recap of what's been going on in the week or any highlight tech items. So I'm going to definitely try to do a show Monday night for a Tuesday release like normal, and then I'm not going to guarantee a show on Friday. I'm going to definitely try, I don't know, maybe we'll figure out how it goes. Maybe we'll take some of the content from the Wednesday meetup and bring it into the show. I don't know, I just, we'll have fun with it, and be patient with me. I'm on travel this week, kind of an unusual travel week for me, and but it's all going to be worth it in the end. All right, I've got the news aggregator loaded up here, and I'm running on Feed Demon version 2.5, release candidate 2. So looking forward to Nick getting the final edition out on that, but downloaded that tonight before the show. I have to talk to you a little bit about an article that I found. How many of you guys have kids that are getting ready to take the SAT, or maybe you yourself took the SAT years past? You know, that's a very important test, you know, especially when you're getting ready to start looking to go to college. There's all kinds of, you know, pressure associated with taking the SAT. Now, when you get a little older, when you're my age and you go back to school, they don't care. You know, at least my college didn't. I just went in and said, okay, I want to go back to school. And they're like, oh, sign this up. And, you know, here you go. Pay us some money and you're enrolled. There was no SAT test to take. So, oh, and by the way, I did finish all my class stuff is done. And I got a 7-day break or something. Well, anyway, this guy, and what made this so funny is this gentleman has a very high IQ. He has a I believe a master's or maybe even a PhD. So he's not, he's very educated. So he signed up to take the SAT for the distinct purposes of trying to fail it. And not only just fail it, but answer every question wrong. So when he went into the test, he went through the process, got signed up, went into the test, and he had a very, very difficult time actually answering the questions wrong. His body wasn't trained to answer something wrong, but, you know, he'd go through and find the just absolute worst answer. You know, there's usually one answer that just sticks out like a sore thumb and what's, you know, that that could be thrown out. And then usually through power deduction, if you don't know the answer, you can get it down to two and have a 50-50 chance. Well, he went through the test, was waiting anxiously for his test results to come out, and sure enough, he got his SAT score back, and he got two right. So it talks about the whole process he went through, whatever prompted him to do this. I have no idea, but it is pretty hilarious. Just hope he doesn't have to go back to school. And they require an SAT test. Can you imagine pulling, sir, you have a master's or a PhD already, and you want your doctorate, but you're, oh, funny. All right, Facebook. I don't know how many of you use Facebook. I'll be honest, I have never used Facebook. And some of you probably out there just gasp, but Facebook is going to be offering free classifieds. I guess they're going to be looking to compete with other websites like Craigslist. So this is an interesting development in itself, and I guess we'll see how well they compete. You know, they got a huge, huge, huge user base, and I'm sure it's going to do well. And here's obviously is another ploy to get people to stay on the site, do more page loads. You know, very, very smart, and especially with an established user base that are fanatical about the service, Facebook is definitely doing things right. We'll see how this new ad system works. The next article up is on Windows Vista. And, you know, I got an email from one of the listeners of the show saying, Todd, you know, why are you bashing Microsoft so much? How come you're such an Apple fanboy? And I had to laugh. I really did. I wrote him back and I said, well, this is the first time I've gotten an email from a Microsoft user saying that I'm a Apple fanboy. And he didn't say fanboy, but, you know, that's kind of what he did is, you know, he was saying, I'm not going to listen to the show no more. You're bashing Microsoft all the time. And, you know, again, for the record, I use my PCs for recording and producing my show. I have my Mac is strictly as a edits video. When I'm on the road, I do use it for a secondary device because I don't take two Windows machines with me on the road. But I use it primarily for video editing video. That's what my wife does with it, too. So, no, I'm not a diehard Mac user. I use both operating systems. So, you know, Windows has deserved, or Microsoft deserved, a little smacking around recently just because of the bonehead moves they've made. But there is a little bit of good news on Windows Vista. They're indicating or hinting, and they can't say too much because I guess they'll get in trouble with the SEC and telling, you know, kind of pre-announcing sales on something before it's been filed or whatever. But all indications are is that Windows Vista is doing better than we think. And he goes into some of the reasons why. Development kits that's being developer kits that are being downloaded, the number of devices that are being supported now. Now, one thing I found very interesting, and this is something the Mac community doesn't have to deal with because, you know, you've got, you know, only so many configurations of a Mac, and Apple doesn't have to worry about all these extra peripherals and drivers for them. And generally they don't. But the Windows operating system has to support literally thousands of different drivers. Well, they keep track of devices that are plugged in where there's no driver found, and if the person submits that issue to Microsoft, what they do is they look at any device that has over 500 driver not found errors worldwide, and when they do that, that driver creation, or, you know, that driver is now put on a priority list. So they say there are currently only 4,000 devices on that list, and those devices encompass 85% of the drivers not found errors that Microsoft is seeing. So that, but still, you think, and if you read that carefully, they're saying here there are 4,000 devices on the driver not found list, and those devices encompass 85% of the drivers not found errors. Now, that seems to me, and you know, when I initially read this, I didn't read that deep into it, but it looks to me like they've got a lot of drivers they got to build. But you know, with that many drivers, they've got to write. You know, how long is it going to take them to write drivers for 4,000 devices? That's amazing. They've seen 21% fewer support calls for Windows Vista than in the same period, 100 days for Windows XP. They've got some 355 test servers running in Redmond, running 10,000 tests a day, and they've tested 12 to 1,400 of the most popular applications and have run over 10 million tests. Now, the question is there 1,400 applications out there? Is there that many Windows applications? That's amazing. That really is. What are the number of applications that are running on a Mac today? How many is available? I'm sure it's a lot, but it seems like a high number. I use maybe 15. Really, I don't use that many applications. How many do you guys use on your computers? All right, Chris Brillo has an article up on new live video stream interface from Ustream.tv. And boy, these guys are listening to the community. There's a way now where on the Ustream TV recorder, when you actually launch the little window to do your Ustream event, you see your local stream monitor, you see the server stream monitor, and you can control the start and stop of the broadcast, the start and stop of the recording. Very, very cool. They've increased the functionality of the actual application. So that's cool. And if you don't want to watch the server stream monitor because it's, you know, it's using double the bandwidth, you can flip that off and you don't have to watch it. Turn it on, make sure it's working. So if you haven't checked out Ustream.tv, haven't done anything here recently, but maybe we can do something in New York. And I guess what I would recommend is that you watch the blog very, very closely. Watch my Twitter. If you're not a friend on Twitter, you definitely add me, twitter.com/geeknews. And I will Twitter when we're putting stuff up on Ustream. Who knows? Who knows what you're going to get to see? And we're going to have a lot of fun in New York. And you guys might as well enjoy some of it, too, if you can watch when you're on break at work or whatever. So we'll have some stuff up from time to time. All right. There's more legislation being introduced in the Senate that's going to be going after the Internet Radio Blues in that the coalitions at SaveNetRadio.org and so forth have done a great job in getting the word out. Matter of fact, they're saying that the number of people that have faxed their congressional delegates, the number of people that have called, is almost unprecedented. It's been the largest grassroots campaign that they have ever seen on the Hill. And literally, fax machines and communication systems were being impaired because of the number of incoming calls to the Senate phone system and trying to send faxes into those representatives' offices saying, you know, stop the Copyright Royalty Board's increase of fees on July 1st. So Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Sam Brownback, Republican of Kansas, have introduced the Internet Radio Equality Act of 2007. So what we've got is we've got a House bill already in play. Now we've got the Senate going at it. So hopefully what they'll do is they'll bring those two pieces of legislation together. We'll get some action on it, hopefully get it on the floor, get it voted for, and then we'll see if the president will sign off on it. This is important, folks. If you want to really make an impact and help to save the streaming radio industry, go to SaveNetRadio.org, okay? And put your, you know, and if you haven't done that, or if you are going to do that, you know, a phone call works real well, too. And the more we get behind this, the more that these congressional representatives will know that we mean business. And, you know, here's another thing, too. Watch how they vote. Because if they vote against this and you are for it, then you need to immediately register your displeasure. We'll bring that to you when it gets to that point. We'll let you know how people vote, whether it crosses party lines or if it's bipartisan. We'll let you all know but this is important. You know, podcasting's great, but many of you can't bring an MP3 into your work. You can listen to a streaming music. I understand that. It's maybe a big part of your day for many of you. So we'll keep you advised, okay? But you are making a difference if you've been submitting stuff. So congratulations on that. All right. How many of you learned how to do basic math in, let's see here. I think we learned how to do 1 plus 1 in what, kindergarten? Or maybe before? You probably are, many of us were taught by our mothers and fathers to, you know, do basic addition really early in life, right? Well, the MPAA's got a little problem doing math. And I think you're going to get a chuckle out of this. They recently reported, the MPAA recently reported on how Canada, now those of you that are listening from Canada, you know, here you're going to have to grit your teeth a little bit. Canada is supposedly responsible for 70% of all world piracy. You heard that right. They're saying that you up there in Canada are pirates. They're saying that 70% of all world video piracy is going on north of the border, I guess is what we should say. Now, just a couple days ago, though, they said in a new report, they also claim that the state of New York is responsible for 40% of world piracy. Okay, let me think about that. 70% plus 40%. In my very basic math skills, that's 110%. What? They're lying. They're lying through their teeth. They're making numbers up. They have no sense in decency. You know, this is just, it is fraud on a level that is just, it's unbelievable. Now, what could have happened was, is on Monday, hey, what percentage you got, Sam? Today, Canada's 70%, is responsible for 70% of the world piracy of video. Okay. Next day, Sam, New York, how much are they? Oh, they're 40%. Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, you got to read this yourself. This is too hilarious. So it's hypocrisy at its best. It really, really is. How many of you are lucky enough to have a Mac G5 DP 2.7? You know, those are some pretty powerful machines. And a lot of you that are doing video are using the desktop Mac, the Mac Pros. And, you know, if you've got a G5, well, and if you've got it, one of those water cooled, or I don't know if it's, I guess it's liquid cooled. I shouldn't say water cooled. Apparently what happened was a guy's machine was a couple years old and the coolant leaked and it destroyed the PSU logic board and both processors. And he's got a picture of the PSU on his desk and it's a sad sight. It really is tragic. He was lucky at AppleCare, so it's going to be covered under warranty. But he's warning people, essentially, if you have a G5 on desktop, make sure you take a look, or G5 DP 2.7, that's what he calls it. And I don't know what the DP stands for, so maybe one of you clue me in on that. But this G5 coolant leak destroyed his box. So take a close inspection of yours, if you have one, and dig around there. I tell you, I want one of those quads. That's what I want. I want one of those Intel-based dual-core. I guess it's not dual core. Yeah, it is dual core quads. I want one with all four chips in it. And wow. All right, but you see the price tag on them? My wife would absolutely shoot me. Okay. Next up. Hey, this is a little bit on the science front. And I have a little bit of a personal history with this article. And it's not necessarily like I was involved. But how many of you have ever been prescribed OxyContin? OxyContin is a real heavy-duty painkiller. I mean, it's good stuff. I when I injured my back and had my vertebrae smashed and end up being in a essentially some pins and some rods and pins put in my back and then had to wear one of those clamshells for a number of months. The doc prescribed me Roxacet and OxyContin together. And that's for I was on that painkiller for about 6 weeks or so. And he had told me when I was ready to start diminishing the pain requirements to come in and he would lower my prescription. Well, the combination of the two painkillers was just making me mean. I mean, I was unbearable. My wife was complaining. She's threatened to move out. I mean, it was bad. It literally changed my mood in a horrendous way. So, you know, I got the picture one Friday afternoon. She's like, you know, something's got to change. I'm like, well, let's go. I'm go off the pain medicines immediately because I kind of knew it was making me grumpy. It make me grumpy old man. And but when I went cold turkey, I went from taking the level of meds I was to nothing overnight. And for about 3 days, I had the, you know, it was almost like the hivey jivies a little bit. And I didn't realize how addicting this medicine was. And it, obviously, I needed it before to control the pain. And then, you know, I didn't know what my pain level was anymore because I was on the same medicine for like 6 weeks. But anyway, what this relates to is if you have anybody in your family that is taking this or has been on it for a long time, there's been a court ruling where the manufacturer of OxyContin is been ordered to pay $600 million in criminal fees for being misleading about or misbranding about that particular painkiller and how absolutely addicting it is, okay? And it does have a very high risk of, you know, I knew I was coming off, and then there was my prescription was almost out anyway, so it wasn't like I was craving to get this. But I tell you what, those 3 days, definitely there was, I could tell, you know, I was like, whoa, this is wild. And so here's the thing. If you got a family member on this stuff, you know, talk to them, caution them. And you know, I know this is a little outside the tech thing, but it's in within the kind of the science front. And I wanted to share that with you because that stuff is, it's good when it's needed, but boy, get off it. It's just absolutely as soon as you can. All right, Zune to get wireless downloads. Version 2 hardware has got a flash player in it as well. So those of you that have a Zune, it looks like there next month is going to be a new build of the firmware coming out. It's going to be, I think, labeled, I think the picture that was captured was 2.1.4. They're going to be able to download music and stuff from Wi-Fi hotspots. No indication yet whether or not they're going to have any syndication features where, in other words, you're going to be able to automatically down podcasts. They want to hit a home run out of the park with the Zune. We've been telling them and telling them and telling them, but when they get the wireless hooked up, if they have something in there where you can automatically download new podcasts via RSS subscriptions within the Zune where you don't have to be attached to a computer, I'm going to go out and I'll buy another one. And I will take my iPod and I'll give it to my kids. Yep, you heard me right. If they do this and they go and put in syndication features in the Zune with wireless capability, I'm all done. I'm all done with iPods. I'll buy a Zune and I'll use that as my personal media player because this is where it's got to go so that we can start making some forward momentum in this evolution that we're all part of here in this media consumption. It has to be able to make it so ridiculously simple for people to subscribe to content and to get it to that media player. And, you know, the days of cables are over, my friends. It's got to be Wi-Fi for those types of devices. It really, really does. So I'm hopeful, but again, Microsoft has let me down a number of times here, so I'm not going to hold my breath. All right, earlier in the week, I talked about Editor-in-Chief Harry McCracken that walked away from PC World over he resigned in dispute by the CEO, Colin Crawford, on some editorial issues. And basically, he was told not to publish a 10 Things We Hate About Apple article. Well, PC World and IDG staff, and I think PC World, IDG is the company that owns PC World, along with Macworld and some other online and paper print magazines. They've essentially reassigned the CEO. So he's vice president of something. But oh my goodness. I guess what a way to lose. What a way to lose your position as CEO by one really dumb decision. I guess that's all it took, because there was an outcry. Mac users, PC users were all threatening to cancel their subscriptions. There was some advertisers that raised their eyebrows. So this was all, this guy got removed because it was a financial issue. You know, it wasn't all because of this article. It was because the public spoke very, very loud. So it's good to see this is happening. And hopefully the PC world folks and the Mac world folks will be real. We'll take a look at their editorial quality of their material. And I'm not saying that anything in theirs has been lacking up to this point. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, maybe this will help reinvigorate them to really be objective in all the materials that they produce. All right. We talked about Juiced on our last roundtable over at Tech Podcast. And Juiced is turning out to be like the talk of the town right now, because they raised $45 million in venture round of financing. And the investors included Sequoia Capital. Of course, they're the big dogs, and you know they roll out a lot of money to a lot of companies. Index Ventures, CBS Corporation, Viacom, and Chinese billionaire Li Ka-shing. So if you haven't checked out Juiced, they're having the people have been doing a major run on it, and it's basically TV for your computer. That's essentially what it is. They've got a lot of great content on there. Viacom has made a deal with them. So has CBS. Obviously, if they, you know, if they've invested in them, they use a little bit of peer-to-peer technology to help move the media around and get it so that you know it's possible to download these shows and have the good video. So check out Juiced at juiced.com. Congratulations to them on their $45 million in venture capital. And I believe Juiced was founded by the folks that created Skype. So those guys are on a roll. They really, really are. All right, NASA has unveiled Hubble's successor. So the U.S. Space Agency has unveiled a model of a space telescope that scientists will say will be able to see the farthest reaches of the universe. It's scheduled for launch in 2013. The contractor, I believe, if I read correctly, was it Grumman? Who's actually building this thing? I saw it somewhere. Yeah, Northrop Grumman is the primary contractor building the telescope. So they say they're on schedule with everything. And this thing is going to be a little different than the Hubble in that they're going to stick it out there 930,000 miles away from Earth. And I don't fully understand why. You know, that's a haul. They're going to take it out quite a ways. And so if this thing goes bad, there's going to be no service in that bad boy, that's for sure. But they're going to launch it, and this is kind of sad too. They're going to launch that telescope in 2013 with a non-American rocket. Let me see if I could find that, where it said that. It's going to be a European Ariane V rocket. And so we don't even have the lift capacity to get it into orbit, which is pretty sad. But looking forward to see what's going to happen there in the years ahead. Speaking of science news, NASA's updated plans for a press conference that they're going to have on May 15th. Hubble has been able to focus on what they think is a ring of dark matter. This is very, very significant. And it's evidence, they're saying it's the strongest evidence to date that that dark matter exists. Now, you know, this has been something that scientists have been trying to get their fingers wrapped around for a long, long time. And they feel that this ring is the first detection of dark matter with a unique structure different from the distribution of both galaxies and the hot gases in a cluster. So we will see what is said about this. I think this will probably be a good press release to, I mean, a good press event to actually listen to, especially if you're a science fan. It is going to be featured in the June 20th article of Astrophysical Journal. I don't get that one. How about you guys? But that might be one worth picking up at Borders. Okay, here's one funny for you. And, you know, leave this up to an HBO guy. HBO executive proposes a DRM name change. Okay, this is what he's proposing. He's saying, hey, I know what the problem with DRM is. We need to change its name. Let's change it to, here we go, Digital Consumer Enablement. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Digital Consumer Enablement. Are they crazy? Enablement. You know, this is a sleight of hands. Oh, DRM is a bad digital rights management. That sounds evil. So let's call it DCE. Let's call it Digital Consumer Enablement. And then maybe we'll convince the stupid people of the world that this is good for them. And a wolf in sheep's clothing. Can you believe this? What next? What next? How off the charts are these going to... Oh, you want to know what was off the charts? There was an executive from Time Warner. All right. History buffs. You know what happened at Custer's Last Stand, right? All right. There was an executive from Time Warner that said, this is the quote. The Googles of the world, they are the Custer of the modern world. We are the Sioux Nation. Time Warner Incorporated Chief Executive Richard Parsons said, referring to the Civil War American General George Custer, who was defeated by Native Americans in the battle dubbed Custer's Last Stand. They will lose this war if they go to war, Parsons added. The notion that the new kids on the block have taken over is a false notion. These guys are like, they're drinking too much of their own Kool-Aid. He said this. He said this in Vegas. Can you believe that he said that? They're scared. It's simple. They are simply scared of what's coming. You know, I was talking with some folks on the phone today, and they said, oh, this new media stuff, it's a revolution. Folks, it's not a revolution. It's an evolution. We're evolving. You know, it's an evolution, and it's nothing. There's nothing they can do to stop it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So going back to the Digital Consumer Enablement, what do you guys think? Think that's a good name or what? Oh, gosh. All right, did you guys know that Google has a game? Last year, they launched a game that allows you to tag Google images. And I guess what they're doing is they've kind of made this as a game to let people look at an image and then they tag it. And then if two or three people tag it the same way, that's the tag they use for the image. I never knew about this. I really didn't. So I'm going to link up the article to the actual blog post on this. Have any of you played this game, the Google Image Labeler? I was actually kind of surprised. I didn't realize that they were doing this. Okay, I've got those of you that are worried about search engine optimization. There's a good article on Search Engine Land that says, don't sweat the small SEO stuff. And you know, if you haven't done just the minor modicum of important stuff to making your website found by, you know, titling your posts good, having, you know, content that is your own, having good keywords in your system, you know, all this stuff that goes along with being able to be found in the search engines. Because, you know, that's what you're doing. When your websites, most of your traffic, or most people has 50 to 60% of their traffic that comes to your website is via search engine. If you can't be found in the search engine, you're not going to get that traffic. So that's where the search engine optimization people, the gurus out there, they get paid big money to make sure you're the top result in SEO, or actually in search engines, so through SEO. So there's a pretty good article on some things that you just don't need to worry about, and it actually goes into a couple of things that are good for you to do. I'll link this up in the show notes. Some of you may not be interested in this, but I'm always looking for good SEO stuff. Is there anybody on this show that listens to this show that is a search engine optimization whiz? Do you do that for a living? Are you involved with anybody that does? Love to talk to you. Really, really would. And might even hire you. Who knows? Okay, Nokia has got a great announcement. They had a great announcement today. Nokia is becoming the first phone maker to add energy-saving alerts to mobile. So essentially what happens is how many of you have got two or three mobile phone chargers that are hooked to a power strip or something, and the transformers are always plugged in, and the cords are laying on the floor or wrapped around something? It's just kind of a pain in the butt. How many of you got that going on at your house? I know all of you just raised your hand. Well, what this does is that the new cell phone I have, it only needs a charge now about every 3 days with the amount of calling I've been doing recently. Now, I have a charger at work that I keep in the drawer just in case I forget to charge it. I'm stupid, and I do that from time to time. So, but I've got a charger here at the house I leave plugged into my power strip. Well, what they've got this set up is with the new Nokia phones is you plug it in, and as soon as the phone is charged, it alerts you that it's done charging and to go and unplug the charger. So they're saying that if people do this, if enough people do this, they could save enough electricity to power 85,000 homes a year. So it's going to start with the new Nokia 1200 and the Nokia 1208 and the Nokia 1650. So very cool. I think this is a great idea. Great, good on Nokia for being thinking green. And I hope we see a lot more of this out there because saving energy is just smart. It really, really is. All right, next up is an article on TechCrunch, and I use LinkedIn. How many of you are on LinkedIn? If you go to LinkedIn and want to link into me, you can find me on there by my full name. But I have not seen the service. I don't pay for their LinkedIn extra stuff that they allow, but apparently they've got a new feature on the website that allows you to look and see who's viewed your profile. I think this is pretty smart on them. Now, I think what would be really smart is, and I got a cable here that's going to my headset. That's I'm gonna have to stand up. Isn't that terrible? Okay, anyway. My head was getting pulled. There's a, if they tie that to an RSS feed. So if they had that linked up so that, you know, that would be cool to have an RSS feed of who viewed your profile at LinkedIn. That would almost encourage me to maybe pay for the service. Because that way I won't have to go visit the website every day. But I can see who's looking at my profile. And that could become a distinct advantage, especially if you're job hunting. If you are updating your job profile, you know, who knows? You might be able to make a connection and get a job. You know, people are looking at your profile. They're looking for a reason. And I think that's very, very important. So I think this is a great, great feature. And the only thing I would suggest to the folks over there is tie that to a Real Simple Syndication feed. And then they really got a home run feature where they really, really do. Which gave me some ideas, by the way. So we might see that coming in a future feature at Raw Voice. All right, anybody heard about HD radio? How many of you have got an HD radio receiver in your car? How many of you are listening to HD radio stations? How many of you are hearing HD radio stations on your non-HD radio? Well, it appears that some people are, because something is going on with the digital signal being very close to the analog signal. There being a little overlap. And some people are reporting that when they're on their very favorite FM 99.6 radio station, or whatever it may be, that they're actually hearing the HD side channel that's associated with that primary radio station. So not only are we now going to have to deal with continue to hear interference when we're driving through tunnels or we get by a big heavy-duty power line or, you know, whatever it may be, but now we have the distinct possibility of HD radio bleeding over into the analog space. It is a conspiracy. What they're trying to do there is, oh, if we make it so they can't listen to our radios in their cars, maybe they'll go out and buy a new radio and put an HD in. That way they won't have that issue. Conspiracy theory or not. Here's the solution. Turn the dial off. Turn the iPod on. Oh, yeah, there you go. Typically, every day I look at my stat counter and I look at to see, you know, what articles that were the most popular for the day, where the traffic was coming from. But, you know, generally the traffic is coming in is of articles that are relatively new. You know, that's where the majority of the traffic goes to. And you still see Google searches going into old content. But every once in a while, and I saw this a couple of days ago, I saw a huge number of hits. And there was like 2,000 or 3,000 hits that went to a article that I had written 3 years ago. So, you know, all I see is the hyperlink to it. So I click on it and I load it up. And I'm like, why in the world is someone referring to this? So I went to the back. To the back referral to find out where someone was talking about that article, to find out what was driving the traffic there. And it was, I had a laugh because the news was like old news, but they were reacting to that article like it was new. So I was starting to get comments on it as well. Now, I'm not the only one that's experienced that. And typically when you have as many articles on a website as I do, I think there's close to 7,000 now, you know, you see this from time to time. Well, the folks over at TechDirt seen the same thing as well, but it was to do with some stuff that Amazon's been doing in a promotion that got them some cross traffic. Now, I'm just going to link up the article that was on TechDirt about this, and I think you'll get a good chuckle out of it. But it's something that, you know, I wonder if at some point we need to put something within our blogs that says, you know, really has the date flashing so that people know that this material is old and they don't spin a cog when they find something that has maybe already been resolved. I mean, you've traveled overseas and seen watch vendors on the side of the street. Anyone that's been to almost any country outside the United States, especially you go down to Mexico or if you go to, you know, almost anywhere, you can find, hey, you can buy a Rolex, my friend. Yes, you can. $25, you can have a genuine fake Rolex. Some of the knockoffs, I'll be honest with you, some of the knockoffs are getting to be pretty good, and the price isn't $25, $30 anymore. I think the last knockoffs I saw were in Bahrain, and they were $250, $300 for a name brand knockoff. And they, you know, very, very obvious there, you know, the price difference. Here you have the real watch in a store that is a certified vendor, and the watch cost $3,000, and you go to two shops down that has knockoffs in it, and they've got them in there for $225. Well, it's, you know, it's pretty obvious it's a knockoff watch. But if you go to any of these countries and you bring back a knockoff watch or two or three or four, be prepared. U.S. Customs is fining people for doing this. It's not a bright idea to do this, even if you're bringing one back for a friend, just as a, you know, as a gift. They're charging this guy $55,300 for bringing back these fake Rolexes. And he brought them back from China as souvenirs. So those were the most expensive souvenirs that he has probably ever bought in his whole life. Now, to think about it, he probably could have bought 10 watches for real with that kind of money. But $55,000 was the fine. It could have been $100,000 for each watch. So pay attention to that. All right, judge says Google background checks are okay. The idea of a Google search as a person's permanent record continues to gather a lot of interest. And whether it's people fretting that they can't be found, or government agents using it as a tool, or employers using Google as a de facto reference or background check on potential or current employees, is definitely happening in the space. And a 3-judge panel has let's see here. However, one federal, essentially a federal employee got fired because they found some information on there. But they're saying this is okay. They can use that, and it can more than likely be used, and it has been used to dismiss you from a place of employment. So please be aware of that, okay? And some things you can do if you've got something out there that is embarrassing and you want to get down, is generally if you go to, now, the Wayback Machine, you're tough. You're out of luck. but you can minimize the risk by going to the website where the material's at. And generally, if you'll ask a site to take material down, especially if you posted it, they will. And there's other ways to get material taken down as well. Of course, it's a little more on the legal side. But I would encourage you, if you have something out there that you did as a youth that you're like, oh man, that's going to haunt me for the next 25, 30, 40 years, that you try to get it removed. And, you know, if you can get the article down, then over time the indexes will update and they won't, that primary reference won't be there. Now, if there's, you know, reference to it in other places, you're, you know, like that Wayback Machine, you know, you're out of luck. It's there for life, but that's life. All right, there's been some big announcements by the cable company saying that they are going to be kicking up the speed. They've come out with some new, I guess it's called the DOCSIS cable. It's actually a standard. The DOCSIS standard 3.0 is going to start to be released. And they're predicting here by 2009 that what we're going to see on cable is theoretically maximum download speeds of 160 Mbps. With possible high-end services even higher than that, with the Verizon Fios, so maybe even pushing 400 Mbps. So very good news that this DOCSIS 3.0 is out. We could see some definite increases in speed. Vonage, if those of you that are using Vonage, they say they've got a workaround for Verizon patents. They did that in an earnings statement today, and they say they're very, very close to working that out. For those of you that have Google Analytics running on your blogs, they've updated Google Analytics, so now you're going to be able to get some much more detailed information, and everyone's raving about it. I've got Google Analytics loaded and running, but I haven't checked it in a while, so I'm going to have to go in and take a look and see what the changes are. If you haven't got it yet, they're going to roll it out a little bit at a time to different people's accounts, so expect to see that. A good write-up on ZDNet and interview done here that is about that issue. All right, we're already an hour and a minute into the show and got a good 46, 47 minutes of content for you tonight. Let me get into, I do have some voicemail comments and I've got a pile of email as well. So let's do the voicemail stuff. I have not pre-previewed those, so we'll see how they are. First up, let's kick it.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Clint.
Yeah, listen, that was an interesting letter that you were reading from your congressperson. It sounds to me like either it was, like you said, either it was written by a staffer or she was giving a very, very non-committal response to a rather important issue.
Yep.
Anyway, I, as I recall, I think I'm one of the winners of your gift boxes.
Yeah.
And my address, my mailing address is, name is...
Hey, Clint, if you didn't get it, email me. If you don't see it by, because I'm missing two people. So if you did not get it here, everyone should have them. And if yours was missed, why don't we wait until, let's wait until Monday. If you haven't got it by Monday, it's guaranteed you didn't get it. And then send me an email again with your address and we'll cross-check that, too. I've got a list, so go ahead and send me an email now, and I'll cross-check that. Choco's actually got the list, so I'll keep you advised on that. Thanks for the comment as well. I didn't want to play your address on the show, but thanks for calling in. And, yeah, I very non-committal, and believe me, I'm going to be watching to see how she votes. All right, next up.
Hey, Todd. It's Sal out of New York.
Hey, Sal. Long time.
Listened to your podcast today, and you asked for some feedback on commercials during the video podcast.
Yeah.
I personally have no problems with that. I think that's a great way to break it up a little bit and provides the provider with some revenue potential. You know, I watch a few other podcasts like DL.TV.
Yeah, great show.
Cranky Geeks.
Another one.
Geek Brief TV and a few of these other video podcasts, and they throw commercials in there, and I think that's fine as long as they're short, you know, not 1-2 minutes long. I think that could be pretty much like commercial television at that point. But say 15-second, 30-second, something along that line, I think would be great and beneficial to the podcaster as well. All right, that's my two cents. Thanks.
Hey, Sal.
Thanks. Great show. Been enjoying it. You haven't been catching the apple so much. Anyway.
That's funny. So funny. Hey, Sal, for those of you that haven't heard Sal call into the show before, Sal gives me a hard time whenever I smack Apple up too much, but just kind of the opposite of. Hey, Sal, do you prefer host read or do you prefer pre-produced? I really want to hear that. What do you think about host read or host acted or however it may be, host endorsed on those video podcasts? Does that come over better to you? If it's well produced, or do you like something that's been heavily, you know, have a heavy production hand on it? That's really, really important in this, in some of this data I'm trying to collect. And so I take it though that you didn't like, you don't care, you didn't say whether you disliked or liked pre-roll or post-roll. So I'm going to assume those were okay as well. Okay, last audio comment. We'll fire this, and then we'll go into email comments.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. I forgot the topic you were talking about, advertising, and what was effective and what was not. I think we all hate advertising, whether it's a commercial or it's a rollout or whatever.
Right.
I just wanted to share with you a little bit of a situation I came across when I tried to catch up on some TV shows I missed during the week. And it was through, I think, the CBS online player that they've got. And what they do is they have a commercial. It's like a 20-second commercial, but it's really not a commercial. It's kind of an interactive type of commercial that's inserted like four times during this program. And it's a way of you checking out the product, and it's there for 20 seconds. If it, you know, is 20, if you don't want to do anything, you don't do anything after 20 seconds. If you want to go see the product, whether it's Sears or whatever, you do it then. So I think I really do think that traditional media advertising is dead. I don't think advertising on TV for commercials works. I don't think it works on radio. Just a nuisance, it really is. And I think that you reading your advertisements during the program is a great way of putting it in and putting a personal touch on it rather than some polished broadcaster doing it. So I don't know where we're going to go from there, but it's. It's kind of interesting to see. I'm not. I do realize that advertising does have to pay the bills, and you know, with my podcast, we're getting close to launching an advertising program, and so it's just one of those things. You need it, but at the same time, is it effective? In my day job, we advertise in magazines and we advertise in trade newsletters, and really none of it works. To be honest with you, we don't have any kind of way of telling. We do get traffic through our website, and but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But that's just my two cents on it. So keep up the good work and enjoy the program. Bye bye.
Hey, thanks for that. You know, it's a double edged sword. It really is. And you know, I can tell you that the campaigns that we've been running on this show have been very, very effective, and it's because all of you have been very, very supportive of the show. So I do want to thank all of you for that. And there's enough new listeners coming to the show that it keeps the campaigns very, very viable. And plus the long tail on the content. You know, I would really love to talk to more companies on why they're not in the podcast advertising space. I want to hear why they're not and what it's going to take to get them in, what we have to prove or show, or, you know, however that may work. It is a big, it's a big part of what I'm looking at right now. Again, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but in order to keep this great content that people are creating out there, to keep people viable, keep them engaged, keep them motivated, there's only so much, you know, pats on the back and so many emails coming in saying, great show, at some point something has to pay some bills, and typically where the wife comes in is, and it's not necessarily a bill, it's the wife saying, how long are you going to do that show? When are you going to stop? That's what kills many, many podcasts and videocasts. It's the time away from the family factor. But when you have a little incentive, in other words, a little check coming in, you can say, let's go to dinner one or two or three times, or let's put this in a safety deposit box and make a car payment or a house payment or buy a new car, whatever it may be, that changes the whole tune quite a bit. It really, really does. All right, I've expanded upon that way too much. Got to laugh. I've got a friend. He's kind of he's really not a friend, but he's a doctor, and his name's Cochran. He's actually Dr. Todd Cochran down in New Zealand. And if you do a Todd Cochran search for Google, you'll see my listing first, his second. And he sent me an email today, was looking for some information. He's involved in some remote controlled vehicle stuff. Had to laugh. We were sharing email back and forth. So now I'm starting to see some email coming in with both our names on it, Todd Cochran, Todd Cochran. It's kind of funny. It's, you know, and I don't think he even listens to this show, but he was looking for some information from Hawaii, but I thought I'd share that with you. And he's the only one I know that's out there. And him and I have shared email from time to time. He keeps telling me he's going to get me on the Google rankings as well. All right, got an email that came in. It was a blast from Twitter today that talks about some new stuff that's going on with Twitter. I'll put a link up on that. Got an email from one of our long-term listeners to the show, and I know he's been blogging personally about this on his own website and is talking about it in his own show. But DKM, my friend, I hope you get better. I really, really do. And I had no idea you were going through chemotherapy. And thanks for sharing me with what's going on. My prayers and thoughts are out to you for a 100% full recovery. If you need any help, I mean anything at all, if there's anything we can do with your production, anything we can do to help you out, please, please reach out and touch us and let me know. I know that you're having a real tough time now listening to a podcast because the chemo's got you down. But we need you back in the space, my friend. Get healthy. Get this thing conquered, and we want you back. And I tell you, I felt bad that I did not know, and I just hope that you have a full recovery here. And I look forward to seeing you at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, or Podcast and New Media Expo. It keeps changing names in September. I know you're not going out to Nomdex. I'm not going to be there as well. So we won't miss each other there, but I look forward to seeing you in Ontario. Got an email from John. He says, Dad, I'm sure you're not hearing this for the first time. I recently started listening to your podcast. At first, I loved your show, but as I listened more, you started sounding like an Apple commercial. I don't know if you're trying to hype Apple, and if you are, I hope they're funding you. I would like to hear fair reporting on the industry. I personally think Apple products are great, but I don't feel that I am listening to paid commercials. John, I am not being paid by Apple, and when it comes to certain products that they have, I am excited about because they do a great job, but they're not paying here. And that's a first on the Apple side. So I talked about it earlier, but I wanted to share it again with you. But I got an email from Jason talking about a privacy breach, and he links me to an article of some stuff going on. And Jason, thanks for that link. I'm going to put that up in the show notes. And this was involved with came out of a University of Missouri where there was a data breach there. So I'll link this up in the show notes for the listeners. Got an email from JP. JP, all I can say is I'll put this link in the show notes, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to put JP's link. I think you'll get a kick out of this. It's only in Japan, I think. Would you ever find one of these? What's the purpose of that thing? And you all will have to look for JP's link to figure it out yourself. I got an email from John talking about DVD filtering technology. Todd, I just learned about some DVD filtering technology I think you'd like to know about. It's called ClearPay, and the system works to filter out objectionable material, for instance, profanity, sex, violence, and gore. That way you don't have to be exposed to that stuff or your kids. The RIAA/Hollywood tried to stop this, but the company doesn't actually alter the movie, so there is no actual copyright infringement. And it's over at clearplay.com. Thanks, John, for that. We'll definitely check it out. And there's plenty of that gore out there, isn't there? That's for sure. I got an email from Paul. He said, I thought you'd like to be nice to know that Palm announced the availability of the Palm Trail 755 smartphone finally officially. And the Trio 755 will be available on Sprint Mobile Broadband Network for $279.99 with a 2-year contract. So those of you that are big into the Palm Trios, check them out. The 755's available. Got an email from Marcus. He linked me up to a Bill Gates parody that's pretty funny. I'll have that one up in the links tonight, too. I got an email from Mark here. I have to save this one for another show. It's just too long. Look forward to possibly meeting Zaldor in, actually, it's Les. It's his email, Zaldor. Les, I look forward to seeing you in Michigan. I got an email from Randall as well. He says, hey, this is why the copyright laws suck. RIAA hates you, and so does Florida. He's got me a link to that restriction of sale on used music CDs. And obviously, he's as disgusted as I was on that. Got an email from, oh, this one here is actually in the wrong inbox. Oh, I got an email from Trucker Tom. He said, Todd, are you aware of www.senduit.com? Senduit.com is a great way to send large files back and forth. And it's got a very simple interface to, it's very easy to use interface and fast and free. I think I've heard about it, Tom. Don't know if I used it. Definitely will check it out. Thanks that so very much. Also, James G, that listened to the show out of UK, your Zone Alarm is sending me security email verification emails. Come on, my friend, clear me so you can get the newsletter. Dorothy, thanks for your email. I got an email from David as well. Just got too much here. I got to wrap this up. Everyone, thanks. And I'm on my way out to NYC, out to Manhattan, and going to look forward to being out there for a few days. Got a lot of business to cover, a lot of people to see, a lot of people to talk to. It's all good. It really, really is. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Send your voicemail comments to 619-342-7365. We will be with you on Tuesday. Can't guarantee how long the show is. Maybe you guys will get a break. Maybe it'll be shorter. Definitely a shorter show on Friday. But until then, y'all take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Aloha.